Good evening and welcome to our midweek Bible study. It's always good to join online if you're not attending a home friendship group. And so we are thrilled to have you viewing tonight. Tonight we're going to look at the fourth study, which we're titled In the Shadow of the Cross. Jesus' death upon the cross impacted the lives of four men in particular, and we've been looking at three of those so far. Tonight we will look at the fourth. Peter is our subject tonight. After his failure of denying Jesus just before the cross, he decided he would return to his life as a fisherman. His success did not do too well. In this lesson, we're going to discuss making our decision to follow Jesus permanently. So before I go any further, let's just pray together. Lord Jesus, we pray that as we study your word tonight, that you would help us and challenge us. Lord, so many things in life brings ups and downs. Lord, shadows, darkness, hard times. But we pray that, Lord, through those times, we would love you and never, ever stray away from you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like to tell you a little story to begin with as an introduction. Brother John Henwood was a very close friend of mine. I wouldn't be telling this story, only that he often used to give this testimony. His life was a mess. He was an alcoholic. However, he became debilitated with arthritis and was confined to bed. In desperation, he cried out to God, "If you heal me, I will serve you." He spoke and said, miraculously, within a couple of days, he had totally recovered. However, soon after that, he went back to his old ways. Then sometime later, he became stricken with this same disease again. And once again, he cried out to God, "If you heal me, I will serve you." But this time, he was determined that he would keep his promise. He started attending a church in Alice Springs. However, the short part of his story is that during his life after that, Jesus called him to serve amongst the Aborigines. And as a result of that, he moved 480 kilometres northwest of Alice Springs into the Tanami Desert and worked amongst the Aboriginal people there as a minister, as a pastor. He served there until his death, but during that time, he saw the hand of God move in miraculous ways. And I've probably given illustration of those on other occasions. However, now there are three churches in outstations located in that area, and also several preaching points. It's strange the way we think. We sort of have some sort of an impression that God is a monster just waiting to pounce upon us when we sin. However, this is not the case. The Bible teaches that God is love and full of mercy, longing to forgive us when we fail him. God came to earth in human flesh to live and die for our sins. That was an amazing thing, that God would come down from his throne of glory to this earth and die for us. So we have to ask the question, why would God turn his back on the purpose for which he sent Jesus to save us? Of course not. Jesus is forgiving and he will be forgiving. He will continue. When we sin and if we repent of our sin, he is always ready to forgive us. We must repent. The Bible says God commands us to repent and we must obey that. But if we're obedient, he will forgive us. The story of the cross is powerful. And if we look into the lives of these men, we've already looked into the lives of three men, but one other tonight, we will realise that the cross impacted their lives. First of all, there was Judas Iscariot. We know him as the one who betrayed Jesus. Everything could have turned around. Judas could have repented, just like Peter. But Judas did not repent. He was proud and greedy. His story ended in tragedy. When we fail Jesus, we don't have to let our failure be the final chapter in our lives. We can find mercy and forgiveness in Jesus. Then we learnt about Barabbas. Barabbas was an insurrectionist as well as a murderer. It appears that he was a terrible person, but yet Jesus took his place on the cross. If you remember the story, they said, "Do you want Jesus or Barabbas?" And they said, "We want Barabbas. Crucify Jesus." Similarly, we have the opportunity to be set free by what Jesus has done for us on Calvary. We don't deserve it, but because he loves us, he will forgive us. I challenge anybody tonight who is watching that has not been born again to trust in Jesus, have faith in Jesus, step out, be obedient, repent of your sin, be baptized in Jesus' wonderful name and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And you will know what it is to enter into a life that can be everlasting. Then last week we talked about Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a man who came to Jesus by night. He obviously had questions to ask, but it appears that he was afraid to let people know about his faith in Jesus. But after Jesus died, Nicodemus couldn't hide this faith any longer. There's no doubt that his faith grew over that period of time from his first meeting with Jesus, but when Jesus died upon the cross, Nicodemus decided that he wasn't going to hide it anymore. He came out and showed in a practical way of what Jesus meant to him. As far as we're concerned, so often we're tempted to hide our faith from other people. We sometimes find it difficult to let our Christianity be seen. But we also, just like Nicodemus, must come out and live for Jesus out loud, because by doing that, we will make a great difference in the kingdom of God. So tonight we're finishing our study by looking at Peter. I am often intrigued with Peter. And when we think of Peter, we think about boldness. We think about some of the things that he did which were exceptionally full of faith. On the other side, Nicodemus was shy about his faith. I will say that sometimes Peter even got carried away, but God didn't look upon that as being bad. Every one of us have different personalities. Some of us are a lot more outgoing than others. Remember the time when Jesus came walking upon the water and they thought it was a ghost, and when Peter realized it was Jesus, he said, "Jesus, bid me to come unto you." And he stepped out of the boat and walked upon the water. I often say to people, before we ever criticize Peter about what happened in the end of his life, or before he was really converted, let's ask ourselves if we ever stepped out of the boat and walked on water. But before Jesus died upon the cross, Peter had boldly declared that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus recognized his faith and said that that Peter would be part, a great part, of building the church of God. Then in Acts chapter 2, verses 2 to 4, we read about the boldness of Peter and John when they stood before the Sanhedrin. They did not back down in the face of threats, but stood firm. Peter's boldness is definitely inspiring, but his boldness also got him into trouble from time to time. So let's turn to our first scripture tonight, which is in Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. Open your Bibles and follow it through, because by reading your Bible at a time like this, you will remember a lot more than just listening. Verse 31. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not." So he was acknowledging there that Peter did have faith. And now he is saying, "I'm going to pray that your faith won't fail. And when thou art converted," that's an amazing statement. Peter was a disciple of Jesus. But here Jesus is saying, "When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee both to prison and to death." And he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." Wow. Wow. If you remember when Jesus taught that he was going to die, and that he would die at the hands of other people, Peter stated, "I'll die with you. I will die with you." But Jesus tried to warn Peter. Then Peter said, "No matter what, I'll never betray you. I will never betray you." So in the midst of this, here's Peter making all these promises, but Sometimes it's easier to say things than to do them. Let's read on a little bit further in Luke chapter 22, this time in verse 54. Then took they him and led him, that's speaking about Jesus, and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him," that is, with Jesus. And Peter denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." Verse 58. And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them," that is, of the disciples. And Peter said, "Man, I am not." In about the space of 1 hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spoke, the cock crowed. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. I can't imagine how Peter felt. Here he is, he knows who Jesus is. He knows he was a disciple of Jesus. But yet, right at this very moment, he fails Jesus. Not just in an ordinary way, but in a spectacular way, if that's the right word. Here, one minute, he's saying that he wouldn't leave Jesus' side, and now he denies Jesus three times. Yes, Peter failed Jesus, but there is a difference between Peter and Judas. With Peter, he denied Jesus. Judas also denied Jesus. Peter was warned and ignored the warning, and so did Jesus. But there is one significant difference, one very significant difference, which was the deciding factor in how these stories played out. So now we're going to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 21 and verse 1 to 3. John 21, verses 1 to 3. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, "I go fishing." They said unto him, "We also go with thee." And they went forth and entered into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. So Peter was not really able to live with himself, and so he decided he would revert back to his old occupation of fishing for fish. He no longer wanted to be a fisher of men. We can place ourselves in Peter's shoes. I dare say that there has been times with many of us when we have denied Jesus when we really should have spoken up. Frustrated and broken-hearted, Peter says, "I'm going back to fishing." Of course, if you read the Bible, just as we did then, it wasn't very successful. Going back to his old life didn't prove very fruitful. Let's understand that Peter was a skillful fisherman, but yet on this occasion, he caught nothing. It took Jesus to come to the shoreline and to yell out to them, "Cast your net on the other side of the fish, on the other side of the boat," as if that would have made much of a difference. I wouldn't think so. But there was a tremendous miracle because they brought in an enormous draft of fish, and Peter realized who it was and threw himself into the water and swam to the shore and stood by the fire that Jesus had lit. Now let's read John chapter 21, verses 15 to 19. So when they had dined, that is, they placed fish on the fire and ate together, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He said unto him, "Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said unto him, "Feed my lambs." So here Jesus is making reference to his calling, Peter's calling. Verse 16, he said unto him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said unto him, "Feed my sheep." So once again, he's reminding Peter what he should be doing. Not going fishing. He said unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." And Jesus said unto him, "Feed my sheep." Verse 18, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not." I believe that's probably referring to Peter's death. Yes, it was, because it says in verse 19, "This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me." Remember, Jesus had said that in the beginning to Peter, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." So they were around the table. Multiple times Jesus said to him, "Do you love me?" And multiple times, three times, Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." So we ask ourselves, why did Peter struggle with this? Why was Jesus asking him three times, did he love him? Well, probably because he felt it was very hard for Jesus to love him after he had failed Jesus so badly. There's a key here, because people sometimes will not repent of their sin and go back and ask Jesus to forgive them because they think that their sin is too great. Jesus wasn't really asking Peter to be perfect. that would be desirable. But he wanted Peter's commitment. Feed my sheep. And then finally, he said, follow me. Let's understand right now that Jesus understands our weaknesses. He would not have us to sin, but if we sin, there is forgiveness with God. Peter remembered those words. He had decided of what he'd said, that he would not deny Jesus. But now, Peter had to make up his mind whether he was going to serve Jesus permanently. Well, praise God, this story ends on a very good note, because after that, Peter became a very prominent apostle. On the day of Pentecost, he preached the first message to the New Testament church. When they cried out, after they knew they'd crucified Jesus, when he preached with such conviction, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So, here we find Peter rising up out of that dark period that he had passed through. And that day, 3,000 souls were converted, which is nothing short of amazing. You can imagine the conviction under which he preached, not only Acts 2:38, but what he preached prior to that. This was an amazing comeback. To start off with, I told you the story about Brother Henwood. And first of all, being an alcoholic and then being healed from that debilitating disease. But yet he went back. But the second time, he didn't go back. Not only did he say he would follow Jesus, but John Henwood obeyed Jesus and went, followed the calling and went into the outback, into the desert, a long way from civilization, to minister to people who did not have a pastor. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, the first epistle of John, chapter 2, verse 1, I'll give you a bit of time to look at that, because there are a couple of words here that I want to explain. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Verse 2. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. In verse 1 it says, we have an advocate. What this means is we have a legal representative who pleads on our behalf. When we seek forgiveness, when we repent of our sin, Jesus pleads on our behalf. Then in verse 2, it says, and he is the propitiation for our sins. That means that Jesus is the substitute. Jesus gave himself as the substitute for our sins. Not only just for us, but for the whole world. Very, very often we think, oh, well, Jesus died for the whole world. No, he died on the cross for you. As I've already said, Jesus desires that we would live without sin. But he understands that in this human flesh this body we live in, that we struggle with sin. But still, he died upon the cross so that we could be forgiven. In our first lesson, we talked about the proper response when we fail. Unlike Judas, we should turn to Jesus and repent. Another thing that we seem to get mixed up about is we think that repentance is a one-time event. When we make a mistake, we should repent. We should repent and move on. Our God died upon the cross so that we can be forgiven. And he will persist if we persist. But yet, Peter went beyond repenting. And we should go beyond repenting by committing our lives to serve Jesus, just like Peter did and just like Brother Henwood did. When we mess up, and unfortunately we will mess up, there are so many ways that we can mess up. There are some things people think are dreadful sins, and yet there are other sins we think are acceptable. Unforgiveness, gossip, bitterness. These things are also sins that need to be repented of. We can find forgiveness with God. We can find forgiveness with God if we will only come to him and confess our sin with a contrite heart. The amazing thing here is that Jesus didn't only forgive Peter, he restored Peter. In the time that Jesus walked with Peter as a disciple, Jesus said to him that he would play a very important part in the church. And now, after Peter's denial and he sought forgiveness, he was restored back to that position as one of the greatest disciples. I challenge you tonight to make a permanent decision to follow Jesus. Don't be fooled by Satan, who would convince you that you're a sinner, that you're hopeless and helpless. When we're like that, we are a perfect target for forgiveness. So turn to Jesus and ask him to forgive you. If you want to see what happened with Peter after he sought the forgiveness of God, we only need to read the book of Acts and the mighty things that happen. There are two ways that we can react with God. Now, I've already said you will make mistakes. I would like to say none of us will make mistakes, but we will make mistakes. We will sin. So one thing we can do is every time we make a mistake, we can decide whether we want to continue to serve God. Or we can make up our minds once and for all that no matter what mistake we make, we're going to continue to walk with Jesus and to fulfill his purpose in our lives. That's the way that second way is the way that Jesus wants us to respond. Don't just live for Jesus, but be sold out to him. We can follow some steps to make the same decision as Peter. Number one, Peter presented himself to Jesus. It was a difficult step. I don't really know how Peter could have looked Jesus in the face, but he returned to Jesus. Secondly, we must come to Jesus and confess our sin so that he can restore us. And finally, we must profess our commitment. And we do well to actually verbalize it. Pray it out loud. Lord, I commit myself to you. I commit myself to doing in my life what you want me to do. But we must accept Jesus' instruction. That's where reading the Word of God is very, very important, because God can speak to us through the reading of the Word of God. We must accept Jesus' instructions. To not accept his instruction is to sin. Therefore, we would need to repent of that sin. But let us become sensitive, not only to sin in our lives, which we can seek forgiveness for, but let us become sensitive to why we are here. Why are we on this earth? And it's certainly not just to please ourselves. God has a plan for us. The devil would try to interrupt that. He would try to destroy that plan. But Jesus has made a highway for us to return to him every time we fail, to return to him with a determined heart and say, Lord, I am weak, but you are strong. And Lord, if I sin, I will get up and I will keep on serving you. I am determined. I am not going to turn away from you. I trust that you've enjoyed this lesson tonight, but I'm going to pray with you right now. I just ask if you would bow your head and in sincerity search your heart. Where are you with God right now? Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful thing you did in coming to this earth to die for our sins. We thank you, Lord, that you came to die for my sins. And thank you, Lord, for your wonderful mercy and forgiveness. Now, Lord, we confess that we've asked you many times to forgive us. But now, Lord, we want to determine that we are going to serve you, and we will not serve ourselves, and we will not serve the world. Lord, we know that of ourselves, there's little we can do. But when your Spirit fills us and we move, Lord, in faith, trusting you, that, Lord, you can do great things. So we thank you, Lord, for this study tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the challenge that goes with it. Thank you for the other characters that we have studied and the lessons that they've taught us. Lord, you're a wonderful God. We love you, Jesus, with all of our hearts. Help us to be strong. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.